Mahabharata, Chapter 33. Jayadratha kidnaps Draupadi. About a month after the incident with Durvasa, the Pandavas were out hunting together. They had left Draupadi at the hermitage under Domya's care. While they were gone, the king of Sindhu, Jayadratha, passed that way while traveling to Salva's kingdom. Seated upon a royal chariot, he came to the outskirts of the Pandavas' ashram and saw Draupadi gathering flowers. The king at once fell in love. The beautiful Draupadi, her dark complexion framed by bluish curls, shed luster on the woodlands. As she bent over to gather the wild forest flowers, Jayadratha was captivated. He said to his son Kotika, "Go and ask this lady her name. Find out if she is an apsara or a daughter of some god." Jayadratha was on his way to marry King Salva's daughter, but upon seeing Draupadi, he lost all interest in that other princess. No other woman could ever match the beauty of this forest lady. "Go, Gotika, and find out why this lady loiters in the forest full of wild beasts and thorns. If she will have me as her lord, then I will consider my life successful." The prince jumped down from the chariot. As a jackal approaches a tigress, he went up to Draupadi and asked, "O fair one, who are you who stands here leaning on the branch of a kadamba tree, looking like a brilliant flame? Why do you feel no fear in this forest? Are you a goddess, or the daughter of a celestial? Perhaps you are the wife of a Lokapala. Tell me, gentle lady, who and whose are you? What is your race, and why are you here?" The prince introduced himself and then, pointing to his father, said, "That one there, shining like a sacrificial fire, is the king of Sindhu. Surrounded by powerful kings, he is traveling at the head of 6,000 chariots and many elephants, horsemen, and infantry. Like Indra amid the Maruts, he is journeying amid his friends. He is gazing upon you, O thin-waisted one." Draupadi stepped back and pulled her cloth over her head. "O prince, it is not proper for me to speak to you here. The ordinance dictates that a woman should never be alone with any man other than her husband. Under the circumstances, however, I will tell you who I am. I am the daughter of King Drupada and the wife of the 5 heroic Pandava brothers. My husbands are now out hunting, but they will return soon. You should tell your father to dismount from his chariot and wait for them. Yudhisthira is fond of guests and will doubtlessly offer you a fitting reception." Draupadi turned and walked back to her cottage, leaving Kotika standing by the kadamba tree. Kotika then returned to his father and told him what she had said. The king replied, "Why have you returned unsuccessful? I must have that woman. Now that I have seen her, all other women seem to me like monkeys. My mind was entranced the moment I saw that princess." "You will have to take her by force, dear father. She will surely not come willingly." Jayadratha got down from his chariot and went with his son and several other kings toward the Pandava's hermitage. Like a pack of wolves entering a lion's den, they went into the ashram and saw Draupadi standing there. In a silky voice, Jayadratha said, "Is all well with you and your husbands, O queen?" Draupadi answered that everything was well, and then said, "Is all well with your kingdom, treasury, and armies? Are you justly ruling the prosperous countries of Sindhu, Sovira, and all others brought under your sway? Yudhisthira will return soon and offer you refreshments. For now, please accept this water to wash your feet, and be pleased to wait for my husbands." Draupadi pointed toward several large pitchers of water standing by her cottage. Jayadratha smiled. "All is well with us, O fair-faced one, but we have no interest in food and water." He stared at Draupadi as he continued to speak. "I wish to take you with us. Why do you remain attached to Kunti's wretched sons? They have lost all their prosperity and are forced to dwell in the forest. A woman of good sense does not devote herself to a fallen husband. Your husbands have fallen from their dignity and have lost everything. You need not share the Pandava's miseries. O you of beautiful hips, renouncing them, become my wife, and share with me the kingdoms of Sindhu and Sovira." Draupadi frowned and retreated a few steps. She felt pained to hear Jayadrath's speech. "Are you not ashamed to speak in this way?" she retorted. "How dare you address me thus?" Draupadi's face flushed and her eyes turned crimson. Her voice rose to an angry shout. "O fool, how dare you insult the illustrious Pandavas, each of whom is like Indra himself? They all abide by their duties and never waver in battle, even with the celestials. The wise never criticize men who practice devout penances, even if they are impoverished. Only dogs speak like that. I do not see anyone here who can save you from the pit you have dug under your own feet. By expecting to defeat the pious Yudhisthira, you hope to separate with a stick a Himalayan elephant from his herd. Out of childlessness, you are rousing a sleeping mountain lion to pluck a hair from his face. You will have to flee with all speed when you see the furious Bhima. When Arjuna returns, you will not know which way to turn. You're inviting these two heroes to an encounter is like a fool trampling on the tails of two enraged and venomous cobras. As a bamboo bears fruit only to perish, or as a crab conceives only to die, so shall you meet your end when you lay your hands upon me." Jayadrath laughed, enchanted by the sight of the furious Draupadi. "I know all this, O Panchali," he replied derisively. "You cannot frighten me with your threats. I am born in a royal line, endowed with opulences and qualities. I consider the Pandavas inferior. Therefore mount my chariot and come with me. Do not speak so boastfully." Draupadi was horrified. "Why does this fool take me to be powerless?" she cried. "Even Indra could not abduct me. Even if he tried, Arjuna and Krishna, riding upon the same chariot, would follow and destroy him. What then of a weak human? O king, when Arjuna releases his deadly arrows, you will see your entire force destroyed as dry grass is consumed by fire. Beholding Bhima rushing at you with his upraised mace, and the twins ranging on all sides vomiting forth their anger, you will then be sorry. As I have never proven false to my husbands, even in my thoughts, so those men will destroy you. I do not fear you, wretch." Draupadi looked away from Jayadrath. She knew that by her own ascetic powers she could reduce him to ashes, but she did not want to be drawn to violence by Jayadrath. Her husbands would deal with him soon enough. Jayadrath stepped forward and seized the princess by her arm. She cried, "Do not pollute me by your touch," and called out for Domya. Jayadrath took hold of her upper garment, but she pushed him back with such force that he fell to the ground. Then Jayadrath was angry. He grabbed Draupadi and dragged her to his chariot. Domya suddenly appeared and rebuked Jayadrath. "You cannot seize this lady without defeating the Pandavas, O king. You should observe the Kshatriya's ancient custom. Truly you will reap the results of this wicked act when the heroic Pandavas return." Jayadrath ignored Domya. He placed Draupadi on his chariot and sped away, followed by his army. Domya entered among the king's troops and stayed close behind, continuously reprimanding him with strong words. The Pandavas were some distance from the ashram. As they went through the dense forest, Yudhisthira began noticing inauspicious signs. He said, "Do you see how these birds and animals flee toward the sun and pass excrement? This indicates that the forest has been invaded by enemies. Let us return to the ashram. My heart seems to be aching for some reason, and my mind is clouded. I feel as if I were about to fly out of my body." The five brothers immediately started back. As they raced through the trees and bushes, with their weapons flying behind them, they saw a jackal yelling hideously. Yudhisthira became still more concerned and urged them on. Suddenly, they burst into the clearing where they were camped. There on the ground, they saw Daitrayika, Draupadi's maid, weeping loudly. the Pandava's ever-present servant and charioteer, Indrasena, dismounted and went over to her. "Why do you weep? I hope no ill has befallen the Princess Draupadi." Could anyone have been fool enough to snatch away that incomparably beautiful lady? Dharma's son has become so anxious that he is ready to go after her, even if she has entered the earth, soared to the heavens, or gone to the bottom of the sea. Who today will fall to the earth with his body pierced and torn by arrows? Do not weep, gentle girl, for Panchali will come back this day and be reunited with her lords. Rubbing her face, the maid said, "Disregarding her 5 Indra-like husbands, Jayadrath has carried Draupadi away by force. See there the trail left by that wretch and his followers. It happened not long ago. He cannot have gotten very far." Dattrayika looked up at the Pandavas and said, "Quickly give chase, my lords, lest Draupadi be violently overpowered, and being beside herself, give up her person to an unworthy man, even as the sacrificial oblation might be thrown unto ashes. Do not let the ghee be poured onto an unignited fire of chaff, or the sacred garland thrown onto a crematorium. Let no mean man touch with his lips your wife's brilliant face, as the somajuice might be licked up by a dog through the priest's inattentiveness." Yudhisthir said, "Go to your hut, gentlewoman, and govern your tongue. Kings and princes who are puffed up with their power soon come to grief." The brothers immediately went after Jayadrath. They twanged their bows and breathed the hot sighs of furious serpents. Soon they saw the dust raised by Jayadrath's army. Coming near the soldiers, they saw Domya wailing. Urging Bhima to go after Jayadrath, Yudhisthir consoled the rishi and said, "Go back now, O priest. This low-minded one will soon be punished." Like hawks swooping upon prey, the Pandavas rushed upon Jayadrath's army with fierce cries. Seeing the Sindhu king in the distance with Draupadi on his chariot, their anger increased like a fire fed with ghee. They called out to him to stop and fight. Upon hearing their thunderous shouts, Jayadrath's soldiers lost their senses and were seized by terror. Jayadrath looked back and saw the Pandava's 5 chariots racing toward him. He said to Draupadi, "5 great heroes approach, O princess. I think they are your husbands. Tell me which of them rides which chariot." Draupadi snorted angrily, "After committing an act which will end your life, fool, why do you ask such a question? Still, as you are on the point of death, it behooves me to answer. Seeing Dharmaraj here with his brothers, I have not the slightest fear." Draupadi pointed to the foremost of the 5 chariots. "Do you see that car, upon which there is a staff with 2 celestial drums that are always being beaten? There you can see a lean man, the color of pure gold, with large eyes and a high nose. That is Yudhisthir. He is merciful even to an enemy who seeks his shelter. Therefore put down your weapons and fall at his feet if you wish for your own safety." The princess then indicated the chariot to Yudhisthir's right. "The one seated on that car, who has long arms and is as tall as a sal tree, who is biting his lips and contracting his brow, that is Vrikodar. His strength is superhuman, and the earth knows him as Bhima. Those who offend him cannot live. He does not forget an enemy, but always takes revenge, and even then he is not pacified." Draupadi went on to point out Arjuna, who rode by Yudhisthir's left. "He who blazes like fire, who is always firm in battle, who never commits a cruel deed, who never relinquishes virtue out of fear, lust, or anger, and who can face any enemy, that is my husband, Dhananjaya. Behind Yudhisthir, you see the twins on golden chariots. Here comes the religious Nakula, who is loved by his brothers as if he were their own life. He is an expert swordsman, and today you will see him cut your troops down like wheat. By his side is Sahadev, the youngest and favorite of all the Pandavas. His wisdom and eloquence are without comparison. That intelligent hero, so dear to Kunti, would rather enter fire than say anything against religion or morality. Jayadrath looked alarmed. Draupadi laughed. Now you will see your army like a ship with its cargo of jewels wrecked on the rocks. If you escaped unharmed from the Pandavas, you will have a new lease on life. Jayadrath shouted commands to his generals, quickly arraying his forces for battle. The Pandavas left off the infantry soldiers, who were begging for mercy, and made straight for the chariot fighters surrounding Jayadrath. As they charged into battle, they darkened the sky with a thick shower of arrows. Seeing them advance like dreadful tigers, the fighters in Jayadrath's army lost heart. Raising his mace, Bhima flew toward Jayadrath with a roar. Kotika and the other charioteers came quickly to protect their king. They rained down arrows, darts, and clubs upon Bhima, but he careered on without flinching. With a single blow from his mace, he slew a great elephant with its driver that was fighting in front of Jayadrath. With a few more blows, he mowed down 14 foot soldiers, and at the same time he fended off all the weapons hurled at him. As Bhima moved closer to the Sindhu king, Arjuna killed 500 warriors who stood before him. Yudhisthira himself slew hundreds more, and Nakula went about with a sword, scattering the heads of the soldiers fighting in the rear of the army, like a cultivator sowing seeds. From his chariot, Sahadev released fierce iron arrows, which cut down many warriors fighting on the backs of elephants. They fell like birds dropping from a tree. A powerful king named Trigarta, fighting against Yudhisthira, suddenly descended from his chariot and slew the Pandava king's 4 horses with his mace. Yudhisthira pierced Trigarta's breast with a sharp-pointed arrow, and he fell to the earth, vomiting blood. Yudhisthira, with his charioteer Indrasena, then leaped onto Sahadev's chariot. Nakula was assailed by Surath, a mighty elephant fighter. The elephant crushed his chariot and dragged it across the battlefield. Nakula jumped down with his sword and shield and fearlessly faced his foe. Surath goaded his elephant toward him, and the infuriated beast rushed at Nakula with a scream. Nakula swung his sword and severed the elephant's trunk and tusks. The beast, which was clad in golden mail, fell headlong onto the earth, crushing its rider. Nakula quickly jumped onto Bhima's chariot. Bhima released arrows with deadly accuracy. With a crescent-headed shaft, he slew Kotika's charioteer, and his chariot flew about pell-mell onto the battlefield. As the confused Kotika tried to restrain his horses, Bhima shot a beautifully plumed arrow and severed the prince's head. At the same time, Arjuna killed 12 other princes fighting by Kotika's side. Thousands of other warriors were slain by the Pandavas. The battlefield was now strewn with the bodies of men and animals. Many chariots with tall standards lay smashed on the ground, along with armor, helmets, swords, and severed limbs. What was left of Jayadrath's army fled. Many ravens, crows, falcons, and jackals, all crying out in joy, came to feast on the flesh of the dead warriors. Jayadrath was now terrified. He quickly put Draupadi down from his chariot and fled into the woods. Yudhisthira had Sahadev take Draupadi up on his chariot, while Bhima continued to slay fleeing soldiers. Arjuna, however, checked his brother. "What will you gain by killing these poor soldiers? They are afraid for their lives and running here and there. Leave off and chase Jayadrath." Bhima agreed. Turning to Yudhisthira, he said, "O king, the army has been routed and its leader has fled. If you wish, go with the twins and take Draupadi back to their hermitage. Arjuna and I will deal with Jayadrath. He will not survive, even if he goes to Indra for protection." Yudhisthira replied, "O mighty armed one, you should remember that he is the husband of our sister Dushala, Gandhari's daughter. Therefore do not kill him." Draupadi became agitated to hear Yudhisthira's words, and she said to Bhima, "If you wish to please me, then do not spare that infamous and despicable Sindhu king, an enemy who carries away one's wife or who wrests his kingdom from him should never be forgiven in battle, even if he begs for mercy. Yudhisthira consoled Draupadi and returned with her to the hermitage. Bhima and Arjuna at once headed into the forest after Jayadrath. The Sindhu king had already gone about 2 miles. Arjuna took out 4 arrows and began uttering mantras as he placed them onto his bow. Pulling back the Gandiva into a full circle, he fired the arrows. They sped through the air over the tops of the trees, covering the full 2 miles and killing Jayadrath's 4 horses. The king fell from his chariot in fear. Getting to his feet, he stumbled through the undergrowth deeper into the forest. Quickly catching up to him, Arjuna shouted, "O Sindhu king, with what prowess did you dare take away our wife? Stand and fight. It does not become you to flee, leaving your followers to face the enemy." Jayadrath did not look back. Bhima jumped down from his chariot and bounded after him, his eyes red with fury. He quickly caught the terrified king and seized him violently by the hair. Arjuna called out, "Don't kill him." And Bhima, who was about to deliver a powerful blow, pulled back his fist. He dashed Jayadrath to the ground and kicked him in the head. As the dazed king staggered to his feet, Bhima knocked him about, striking his head and chest with his fists and knees. Jayadrath fell unconscious to the ground, and Bhima dragged him to Arjuna. Through clenched teeth, Bhima said, "This one committed a heinous crime and does not deserve to live. But because Yudhisthira has commanded us, what can we do? The king is always merciful and forgiving." Bhima looked contemptuously at Jayadrath, who was returning to consciousness. The Pandavas considered how best to punish him. He took from his quiver a razor-headed arrow and shaved off Jayadrath's hair, leaving only 5 tufts. For a Kshatriya, such treatment was tantamount to being killed. It meant that he had been defeated and humiliated at the hands of a more powerful enemy, but left with his life. It was better to die in battle than to suffer such a humiliation, and Jayadrath was consumed by shame. Bhima threw him to the ground and said, "Fool, if you wish to live, then listen to my words. From now on, wherever you go, you must announce yourself as the Pandava's slave. This is the accepted custom." Jayadrath sat on the ground with his head bowed. "So be it," he replied, trembling. Bhima pulled the king up and pushed him toward Arjuna's chariot. "Get on board," he ordered. "We will take you to Yudhisthira to receive his command." They rode back to the hermitage and found Yudhisthira seated amid the Brahmins. Bhima dragged Jayadrath down from the chariot and had him bow before Yudhisthira. "Here is the wretch who offended Draupadi. You may tell the princess that this vile man has now become our slave." "Let him go," Yudhisthira said with a smile. Draupadi came out of her hut and saw the beraggled Jayadrath on the ground in front of Yudhisthira. The soft-hearted princess, thinking of her cousin Dushala, said, "Yes, we should spare him. Bhima has punished him sufficiently, and he has now become our slave. Set him free." Bhima told Jayadrath to go. The Sindhu king, beside himself with anguish and shame, bowed before Yudhisthira and the Brahmins and then stood up to leave. Yudhisthira said, "You are a free man. I will release you this time, but do not commit such a vile act again. Although weak and powerless, you tried to abduct another's wife by force." Seeing Jayadrath's piteous condition, Yudhisthira was moved to compassion. He held up his hand in blessing and said, "May your heart grow in virtue. Go now in peace with your followers. Never again contemplate such impiety." Jayadrath walked away from the hermitage sorrowfully. He thought only of how to avenge himself on the Pandavas. Realizing that he would never be able to overcome them in battle, he decided to accept a vow of asceticism to please Lord Shiva. If he was empowered by that great deity, then surely he would be able to defeat any enemy, even the mighty Pandavas. The Sindhu king made his way to the bank of the Ganges and sat down in meditation. For a long time, Jayadrath practiced severe austerities, eating only leaves and remaining wrapped in prayer to Shiva. Eventually, the god came before him and said, "What do you desire?" The delighted king replied, "May I be able to vanquish in battle all five Pandavas seated on their chariots?" Lord Shiva smiled, "This cannot be. The Pandavas are unconquerable because they are protected by Krishna. Even I cannot slay them. Therefore, your desire is impossible to fulfill. But I will grant you this. With the exception of Arjuna, who is the invincible Nara incarnate, you will be able to check all of them in battle, one time only." After granting this boon, Shiva vanished, leaving Jayadrath to return to his own kingdom, wondering when the day would come when he would be able to use his boon.